So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, author of How to Fight Presidents, staff writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and the thriller at the grill, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey everybody, I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a writer as well. I go for like a shorter thrill of the grill. Really where I am. I felt like the way that it sounds better. And
it is better. It's cleaner. It's tighter. It's better.
Wait, are we back on the show?
Yeah.
Excellent. I missed it, honestly.
Did you?
Yeah, I think it's kind of fun. It's a fun way to start.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I think the only thing that, the reason that I brought it back is because I did it in last week's episode, and it just lit up people on Twitter who just reached out to say, like, hey, you brought it back. And I know that I famously don't want any interaction on Twitter, yeah. But just some kind of, like, faint glimmer that people listen to the podcast.
Wow.
Like,
and they know.
Closely.
Oh. You know what it does? It acknowledges an agreement. It's like they've made a commitment to click on this, and then you're just acknowledging that. You're like, so you've chosen this one. Excellent.
Yeah. So we're gonna get right into our show where we ask each other questions, but
I have a quarantine update.
Okay.
As of today, I am fully vaccinated.
Hell yeah. Bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, I went for a run today. And I still brought a mask. But when people were on the opposite side of the street as me, I didn't even put it on. I didn't adhere to any sort of etiquette or anything. I was just like, the CDC says I'm fine. But I still didn't have the courage when I would like pass people walking their dogs or, you know, slower runners, as you know, Dan. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the courage not to wear it. I put it on for them.
I am still wearing mine in grocery stores, and I think I might do that for the rest of my life because it's not enough of an inconvenience, and I haven't gotten sick from anything in a year.
That's the thing.
I'm going to be wearing a mask much more often.
How can anyone who wore a mask this entire year and didn't get even a cold ever agree not to wear a mask like in a closed public space again?
But you know what's a dark, awful thing about myself that I'm realizing? Is that the start of quarantine, the pandemic, when everyone was wearing masks, all those videos would go viral of people in like a Trader Joe's or a different supermarket refusing to wear a mask and then throwing a fit and just being like a completely unreasonable person. And I would watch those videos and think like, yeah, I don't want to wear a mask either, buddy, but just do it. Just do it for a while. It's okay. It's not the biggest... It's not the problem that you're making it. And now that the CDC and my stupid governor, Governor Cuomo, have both lowered the mask mandate, I got a note was passed along to everyone in my apartment building that was like, look, the CDC changed its rules and Governor Cuomo said you don't need to wear masks anymore, but we are still going to insist people wear masks in the common area and in the gym. And immediately I felt myself turning into one of those crazy people in the beginning of the pandemic. I feel like I'm better than that because the science is on my side, but I could still predict a viral video of me in the future where I'm in the gym getting dragged out with no mask on and being like, Fauci said it's fine!
Yeah, you tried
to... He said it's fine! We're allowed to now!
Trying to rip the mask off of somebody on an elliptical, being like, take that shit off!
It's good, you're free now!
But it really made me realize that, because I was in the same boat. Early on in the pandemic, I was like, you know what, it's fine. I will wear the mask to the grocery store. It's just like, this is a finite period of time. This is just a point in my life, and then everything will be normal again. And now I'm at a point where I've been wearing it so long that I'm like, no, I'm very comfortable in the mask. I think I would prefer to wear it in an enclosed space. And for a lot of reasons, one of those is like my own betterment. Like I won't get sick nearly as much. I won't bring home sicknesses to my children. And it's like any time that I've ever taken a step towards my own personal betterment, like working out is a very good example. I stopped working out for a long time because I had children and I didn't really have the time. And I was like trying to find it at night and stuff. I would go at night and I would go at like 9:30 at night. I was like, no, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Listen, if I just do this for a month, let's just see what happens for a month. And like, once you get into the rhythm, then you want it. Like then you're okay. But it's like those first couple, that first like month or two is just so awful. And if you could foresee the forest of the trees and just know that like, no, at some point this will become as routine as brushing my teeth. It will feel strange if I don't do it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm still not there yet with brushing my teeth. I hope so. I used to. And then I didn't have kids. My brother had kids. And then I just stopped brushing my teeth for a while.
Well, you got to cut time somewhere.
Yeah.
Shave time.
But I was certainly with that with running, so much so that I've left notes for myself to remind myself how much I like running now. And I just like, I write down this is better over and over again. Because I have like daily lists that I use to fuel me throughout the day. And every once in a while, I will write on that list in parentheses, this is better, because I need to remember that like at some point a thoughtful Daniel was like, hey, I've done not running and I've done running and this is the better one. Trust me.
Right.
If you ever fall off again, because like now I'm running probably too much. I could feel it in my knees and not even in a way that is like, my knees hurt when in like the middle of my run every so often. It's like, no, just like existing now, I can feel my knees giving out. And like in 10 years, I will just not have the mobility that I have now because I'm just putting so much punishment on it. But all that is to say, I've run so fucking much now. But I remember when I was trying to get back into it within the last year and just like starting out so bad. You're so slow. You can't run. I'm sure it's like any exercise where you can't do what you used to be able to do and you don't feel good. There's no runner's high from it. You don't see any results. And then you have to do it again the next day. It's just such horseshit where it's like, I like slugged my way through a mile yesterday. It didn't feel good. I didn't look good. Nothing is better. And I have to choose to do that instead of not doing that? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, until you see any results at all, it's like, no, why don't I just wait until I'm 60 and then I'll start running?
Yeah.
People may not know this. We've talked before on the podcast about how Bacon is fine. Bacon is doing okay. Please don't look for him. But Dan and I do have to attend to a legal matter of his in the summer. And for this legal matter, unfortunately, we do have to dress up. And I'm wondering if that's like incentivizing you to like, look, I want to look good in a suit. This is why I'm getting in shape? Or are you just doing it for the hell of it?
I'm just doing it for the hell of it. I think there's a because pandemic has gone on so long, people, the childless and work from home among us, have had the great luxury of like really dipping our toes in the worst impulses of pandemic life and the best impulses. Like it went on so long, I didn't have to choose. I could be like, let's see what it's like if I just like don't shower for a couple of days. And okay, I got that out of my system. And so then I transitioned to like, what is the best things I could do for myself with this time. And it started with just running and getting in better shape because I was determined to not come out of the pandemic looking worse. Even though this is a period of time where it's like the most understood drop off in history. If we all came back to work once work happens again and everyone across the board was like 15 pounds heavier and somehow 6 years older, and however you measure badness, that many units worse, it would be fine. We'd all understand. But I still just like made this choice in my head. I was like, no, I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna come out of this with something I can point to and say, this is one of the things I did with that extra time was run this mileage and lose some weight and get in better shape and have more energy.
That's fair. I am doing it because of I have to wear a suit again. Yes. And I'm like, I tried on my wedding suit, which I got married, I don't know, 2012. And really? Yeah, I can't. Yeah. And it's like, it's awful. It's like putting on the pants. I can get them shut, but I can't wear those in public.
Right.
And that was like a humiliating moment for me. I was like, wow, I didn't realize how much weight I had actually gained. And so I'm now like trying to get back into shape. I mean, I don't have to wear that suit. I got another one that's a little more accommodating to somebody of my girth. But I still was like, what happened? What, I should still fit in this. And so I'm like, I'm trying to like just slim down a little bit.
Yeah. That's great. It's good. I mean, it's hard and it sucks. It sucks how much harder it is to maintain shape when you get older.
Yeah, it is. So like how many miles are you going a week, Dan?
About 30 miles a week.
Dang. That's a lot.
Yes. I really like it. And it's like hard for the day to feel correct without it. Now, mm-hmm. I'm still not running 7 days a week because I feel like that would be way too much. But even six is more than I probably should be running a week. But I get to a day that I think I'm going to take off running, and then it starts to get closer to like 6:30, which is when I run at night. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do with this time now if not run?
That's great. That's like the rut you want to be in. That's like a good habit.
It's a good habit, but it's also when I talk to my brother about my knees being bad, I'm like, what should I do about this? And he's like, well, don't run as much. You can't run as much. That's how time and the body works. I was like, well, no, I meant like a pill or like ice and heat.
Yeah. My high ankle started hurting on my right leg, and I was like, that's weird.
Like LeBron.
I was like, what is this? And I was like, I don't think I sprained it anytime recently. And then I started looking online, and it was like, oh, it's probably tendonitis. And the only way to get rid of that is to not do it as often. And I was like, what if I favor the other, like when I'm running? Can I do that?
I guess this is a similar COVID.
I think our Chiron is broken.
Okay.
That sounded terrible. Something happened to it.
I was fully vaxxed. My 2 week period was up a few days ago, and I celebrated by going to a Brooklyn Nets basketball game. I went to the last game of the season against the Cavs.
Wow.
And it was the first time I'd done like a big thing in so long. And it was great. It was so sparsely populated, like Tatooine. And it was such a, there were still like a lot of people there, but they're all so far spread out, and it's such a big stadium. Barclays is such a big stadium that if someone is like booing a player, it's really like someone at a bar booing the TV. I feel like if I wanted to, I could just turn and be like, hey, shut up.
Yeah.
Hey, they're doing their best. Come on. Let's all and they can hear you. Blake Griffin can hear you right now.
Wait, so how many people would you estimate were in the stadium?
Oh, please don't make me do that.
Okay, but like, how do I even ask this?
So if we pretend that Barclays can hold 5,000 people, I don't know if that's true or laughable. And if it's laughable, I don't know in what direction it's laughable. But let's say that it can hold 5,000 people. I would say there was 900 people there.
Yeah, how full was the stadium? Give me a fraction.
Oh, come on, man.
Wait. I thought that would be way easier. It's like, oh, it's half full. It's about half full.
Oh, it's definitely not half full. And then as long as something's not half full, then it's real tricky.
Oh, but that's what I wanted to know. Okay, so it's not even half full.
Oh, not even close to half full.
Okay, you probably, I bet I can see like 19,000 people. Okay, that's not a lot. See, I thought you had gone to an event where there were just tons of people. And like the part that I was worried about for you was not sitting in the seats, but like walking around the exterior.
No,
of the arena.
It was amazing. Getting in and out was so fast. And like the thing that you dread at any sporting event is leaving, because that's when everybody is like, at their drunkest and wettest and all trying to go to the same place. But this was a fucking breeze, man. It was like walking out of a movie theater. There were so few people there.
That's great. Wait, did you get something? Did they give out like bobbleheads or anything like that?
No, they didn't. I think they probably have done away with a lot of the bells and whistles because there's so few people there. Like, this is going to sound like I'm doing a bit, but it was so, the attendance was so low that when they did the dance cam, they went to the same couple twice because they like opened and closed with this one couple. Because they were just like, we're out. That's it. Those, the only people willing to dance, we got them. So let's go back to that first couple, see if there's any juice left there.
And did the Nets win, Dan?
The Nets won, and Alicia Keys was there, which was very cool.
Did you see her?
No. They just do that thing where they're like, who's here? Yep. And they play a clip of Alicia Keys, and then they cut to her in the audience waving. And I was like, great. We both like basketball, Miss Keys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you probably could have shouted that. Yeah.
But it's a thing that I've been thinking about. Oh, what's up? Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Dan. I just looked it up at the Barclays Center seating capacity.
What is it?
Did you hear what I said?
Did you said 19,000.
That's how much. That's exactly how much.
Well done. Well spotted.
Oh, boy. God, I'm so bad with numbers. So this is such a big win for me. And it was like, it's been recorded. Somebody else is going to hear it. This is so exciting.
But anyway, one of the things that it's not like a new observation. It's just something that I've been thinking about is how different attending sports live for entertainment purposes is than so many other things that you see live. And what I mean by that is, Coach Nash benched Harden the entire time because the Nets have a great season. They're really just playing for their seed in the playoffs, and they were always going to beat the Cavs. They've still got Durant and Kyrie, and I guess to some extent Blake, who are doing great work. But coaches think strategically, and they're like, "Well, I'm not going to have my big three play the whole game. If I can sit any of them and rest them, then I'm going to do that because it's going to matter later to have them when I actually need them." So you sit James Harden, and then when it's the fourth quarter and the Nets are comfortably ahead, you sit Kyrie and you sit Kevin Durant too. And I get that. It makes sense when you're a coach thinking about the big picture, but I'm sitting there in the crowd. I want to be like, hey, I don't go to a lot of Nets games. Can James Harden take a fucking three, please? Can I see that? I don't know when I'm going to be here again.
Can I watch him flail in a foul? Like,
yeah.
That's what I came for. Yeah.
Find a way to do it safely. But like in addition to supporting the team or whatever, you're kind of paying to see these superstars play basketball. And then when you read these interviews with Steve Nash before and after, he's just like, yeah, we were just focused on winning this game. And then we're thinking really, really about the playoffs and what that schedule is going to look like. It's like, well, that, but I'm the protagonist, and I wanted to see the big three play together.
I had a very similar experience 2 years ago when I went to a preseason football game between the Rams and the Broncos. And I am a big Broncos fan.
Yeah.
And the Broncos were, this is at the Coliseum here, which is, the Coliseum is not built for football. It's like everybody's right on top of the field. So you're very, very close to the players. And the Broncos were on the other side, and I'm like hunting for my guys. And then there's a play where Cortland Sutton and Emmanuel Sanders, who then was playing for the Broncos, are out on the field. And I'm like, yes, here we go. Like, they're in for this set. And immediately there's a penalty. And Cortland Sutton comes off and Emmanuel Sanders stays on. And I'm like, okay, all right. Emmanuel Sanders takes like five steps, doesn't even make an effort to like juke or anything like that. It's a run play. And he's not even going to try and block on this one. He's just like, I'm not involved in this one. So I got to watch Emmanuel Sanders walk in a play. And I was like, okay, that was it. Bunch of third stringers now that I don't know, fighting for their careers. I don't know you guys. I'm so sorry. I'm sure you're great.
This is probably a big moment for you, but you have to know what a loss this is for me.
But it was kind of cool seeing Sean McVay. Like, I was right on top of Sean McVay, which was neat.
Yeah.
Who's the coach for the Rams, and I think a pretty interesting, neat guy. But yeah, it was just so underwhelming.
Yeah.
You just watch these. It's like watching a Lamborghini sit in a garage. You're like, oh, very cool. Can I touch it? I can't touch it. Okay. Yeah. I have to stand way back here. That's fine. Can I see you drive it? No, it stays there in the dark. Okay. Yeah. All right.
it's still definitely cool. And like, it would have been a bummer if none of the superstars played, but it's one of those things that like, I think about the other live events that I go to are like Broadway shows where even the understudies are very good. And you're going there to see the show most of the time, or comedy. You're seeing an act or a band. You're seeing an act, and like, you hope the band plays the hits. And even when we have an audience, back in the day when we had an audience for our show, you can tell when there's like a level of excitement when John does a type of joke that is already familiar to the audience. There's like a few wells that we can pull from every once in a while, like hashtag feminism or Janice from accounting don't give a shit, a bunch of things that are like recurring bits across years. Mm-hmm. That audiences, you know, these are often people who are from out of town and wanted to see a taping of a show that they love, and they come, and like, there's a different pop in the audience when he's doing something that they've seen before. It's very exciting, and I get that. I totally understand that. Like, you know, it's like music. You're playing the hits to people. Yeah. People are like, oh, God, he did a hashtag blank joke. And it's very exciting. And then I go to a Brooklyn Nets game and like, no, we're gonna sit Harden so he can rest. And I'm like, so he can rest? Tell him that I'm celebrating my vaccination.
Yeah. Would you sit the boss at his show in Philly? Actually, I don't even know where he's from. Is he from New Jersey? Is he a New
Jersey?
Yeah,
he's like famously from New Jersey. Oh, you absolute maniac. Yeah.
Why do I think Philly? Is anyone from Philly? John Kruk.
Would you sit the boss in Philly? You were so proud of your 19,000 coup.
It was also like such an old joke too. It was. When was the last time he was relevant? That's humiliating. I'm sorry that happened, Dan. I'm sorry you didn't get to see your guys play.
It's okay. It's very funny because he's sitting there the whole time, like in his sweats, drinking a giant milkshake. I was like, well, he's having a good time.
It wasn't like a whey protein shake or something. No, it was like whipped cream on top, two straws in it just in case. Well... I do look forward to the time when I get to go to games again. I did see a billboard recently because the SoFi Stadium is done. I know it's done here mm-hmm. in LA because that's where I went and got vaccinated. I saw that the Broncos have a game here against the Chargers. And I was like, of course they do. This is what I've been waiting for. I should go to that game this year. And started to look up like tickets and stuff like that. Immediately saw that the game was on January 2nd. And I was like, there's no chance I'm going to be here. There's no way I would be in LA 2 days after New Year's. I don't think. So it may not happen.
I saw a lot of people in LA going to Dodgers games, and that seems like it would be a lot of fun right now. No interest
Dodgers
in that.
Games. Yeah. That would be fun. I just thought I should take my son, but I don't know how long he would last. He's pretty young.
Yeah.
Maybe I could get him to do it. I think it would be either be like a big moment for him and really fun, or it would be I'd be frustrated the whole time and mad at him for not appreciating it more. Yeah. It's like everything I try and do for him. Those are the two speeds. Speaking of which, he started soccer recently.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We've got a good, like it's got this good neighbor friendship. They've got a kid who introduced us to like the soccer program that's just right down the street from us. And like, they're great parents. I like hanging out with them a lot. And, the dad was like, you should be a coach for this other, like this later in the summer, the soccer program. And I was like, I gotta like, I just gotta calm down and breathe and like, be like, yeah, that would be neat. Maybe. But inside I'm thinking, I could fucking take these kids all the way.
There's
whatever all the way is, I could take them.
There's no money in that for you, right?
No.
Are all the coaches in Little League, is that a completely volunteer basis?
You know, I don't know. I bet that when your kid shows real promise, that they get shuffled up the ranks pretty quick, and then it becomes not altruistic on the part of the parents. It's like, then it's for money. But I think for the most part, yeah, I think it's when they're this young, I think it's volunteer.
Huh.
No. Well, actually, Anna, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I wouldn't do it for the money. If they try to hand me money, I'd throw it in their faces because I'm not there for them. I'm there for the kids.
Yeah, good, I guess. I mean, no, that makes sense. The reason I was asking about money is that I was thinking about my brief stint in Little League baseball and basketball and just how awful I was for years, just awful and not fun to watch or be around. And I'm thinking, like, those adult men who told me good hustle, they're doing that for free? That sucks. They deserve so much more money than nothing to essentially babysit a 15 deep pack of hyper monsters who can't play baseball.
Right. Yeah, I've seen back. I had a coach for a little while that was from the Cincinnati Reds. I don't think he had played with them for like a year or something like that. And that was like the biggest news in all of Carbondale at the time. But I guess I was much older then. So I think he was getting paid to do that at least. But as a child, I like 5, 6 years old, I think it's got to be volunteer.
Man. Good work, dads.
Also, a lot of not dads, now that I think about it.
What?
Growing up, I had a lot of coaches early on that were just like coaches that didn't have a kid on the team. What were those guys doing? What was their end game?
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Well, Dan, I have a quick question for you if you want to answer it for me.
Sure.
Do you have like a moment from your life that's pretty well documented, like a lot of good photographs and everything, but that you don't return to because there's one element of the photos that just like reminds you of regret and like how you wish this one little piece was different? I'll give you an example.
Please.
This is somebody else's and then I will give you mine. In all my wedding photos, I've got my brother, his wife, who's wonderful, my mom and dad, my wife's mom and dad, her sister, who I also adore, and then her sister's boyfriend, Katz, who's like...
Katz?
Katz. Yeah. K-A-T-Z, I think. And boy, does this kid just not fit in any of these. And now she's happily married to a guy that I love, that I think is great. But at the time, she was dating this guy that I was kind of like, oh, I don't get it, but you're happy, so okay. And he's in every single one of my wedding photos. He's in all of them. All of like the ones where we're all posed together. Someday, like my kids will be like, okay, so who are all these people? And I'll be like, well, you know, grandma and papa and all these. And then we're like, oh, and then this is Katz. There's no relation. You don't have to remember him. That doesn't have to stick in your memory. You can leave him out. That I think is weird for my wife to constantly see him in all the photos. I have one that was around the same time where I thought, why don't I ever look at any of the photos we took at our engagement when I asked Colleen to marry me? I had just watched a movie. And as will sometimes happen to me when there's a couple in the movie or like love prevails or whatever, I get very sappy about my own relationship and I'm like feeling very in love and I'm like, yeah, I should go look at these photos.
Man, as often happens when there's a couple in a movie, you must just be a fucking sopping mess all the time.
Well, couples...
That's so many movies.
I'll be honest. If there's a movie where if a movie like starts with a couple, that couple will not be together. So if there's a movie where a couple lasts all the way through, oh, that's the dream. But anyway, I went looking for my photos and I realized, oh, this is why I don't look at these. So in all of the photos, after I've proposed to my wife, I'm wearing a soccer jersey. And not just any soccer jersey, a high school soccer jersey.
Oh, boy.
And not just any high school soccer jersey, a high school soccer jersey from my rival team in high school that I stole.
Jesus.
At their homecoming. It was a game where we lost. I was very frustrated. A kid whipped off his jersey and like threw it in the air because he was so excited, and it was like the crowd was into it and everything. And I was like, well, then fuck you, I'm taking it. And took the jersey. And that was like a very funny thing for everyone else on the team, my team.
Yeah.
And then I would wear it. I would wear it occasionally. And we had done a hike, my wife and I, in Machu Picchu. And it was like a 4 or 5 day hike. Some of the highest elevations I've ever been, higher than in Colorado. I've climbed 14ers, and we were up at like 15.3. So like very, very high up. We both didn't feel very well on the trip. Some altitude sickness, and she had like a fever for some of it. But because I was in a hike, I traditionally do not bring any cotton clothing. I only wear synthetics. And so I had a soccer jersey the day that we went into Machu Picchu and the day that I proposed. And looking back on it, I was like, what? You could have brought a button up. It would have been so easy. You could have brought anything, a polo, like something that's nicer.
That's what's very curious to me, is that you knew you were going to propose.
I worked so hard to get the ring down there. I put the ring in I sewed it into a handkerchief so that she wouldn't know about it. Sewed it into the corner of a handkerchief, brought that down, and carried the handkerchief in my pocket every single day. Mm-hmm. And would like intentionally take it out to wipe my nose with it in the hopes that she would just steer clear of it if she ever saw it.
Smart.
Prepared everything. There was like one particular room up there called the Sun Room in Machu Picchu, which is, I won't get into all like the ethereal shit to it, but it was like the perfect place. Mm-hmm. I had a guide who I like clued into it, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it, how like I didn't want a lot of people there. And like, it was all great and it was perfect. And I just did not plan an outfit.
I think so. I'm sure your instincts were right. I think anything out of the ordinary would have tipped her off that something was afoot, and you didn't want to do that. You didn't want the surprise spoiled. And also, you know your wife, and I don't. If you had showed up, like, just got a clean shirt with buttons, and you shaved that morning, and everyone's taking pictures of the newlyweds or the newly engaged, and she is dressed like a person who just thought that she was hiking. I think that would be a worse memory. No, like that. It's a more aggravating picture if you're fucking Dapper Dan dressed to the nines and she's still in a jersey that she stole from her rival school.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'm trying to remember what she's even wearing. I think she's just wearing a jacket. You're right. And it might have thrown it a little bit. Like, she might have been clued in if all of a sudden I was like, and today I'm going to wear a button up.
Yeah.
She'd have been like, fucking why? But I looked at the photos and I was like, there's like, it looks like I'm the worst thing that ever happened to Machu Picchu. Like, there are photos of us from above. Like, we climbed all the way up to the gate and we're looking down on it, and there's a great place to take pictures where you're kind of in the foreground on some grass, and then you can look down and see all the terraces. And I'm in the foreground and I'm like, that guy shouldn't be there. What a terrible American. Look at him wearing an old soccer jersey that started to pill around the neck because it's like a different fabric there.
Thinks he's so much better. He's wiping his face with a handkerchief covered in diamonds.
I had a real crisis on the way down there where there's like a thing where you have to fill out how much you're traveling with, how much money you're traveling mm-hmm. with, where I was like, well, hold on. Do I have to declare this? Will be thrown in jail? What? How does this work? What do women do when they travel across the country and they're married? Into other countries when they're married? And I realized that nobody gives a shit about an actual ring.
That's happened anytime I've ever traveled internationally, where they're like, how much is what you're traveling with worth? I'm like, I don't know, fucking nothing. Yeah. It's a bunch, it's clothes, but it's like my clothes. So yeah, nothing.
Yeah. It was a real eye opener when I came back from Christmas one year and my bag had been stolen. My luggage got stolen off of the carousel in the bottom of LAX. People just go in there, they'll take a bag and leave. And apparently this happens frequently enough that when I brought it up, they're like, yeah, yeah, this happens occasionally. You get, this is why the airlines have insurance. And so I had to make an itemized list of everything that was in my bag and how much it cost for the airline. And when I got to the end, I was like, okay, $25.
I would have no idea how to do that if like my bag with my laptop was stolen.
Yeah.
You're like, well, on the one hand, it's impossibly like an 11-year-old laptop. But on the other hand, can you put a price on the ideas that I put in there?
Yeah, well, the
ideas. And have forgotten.
The person's going to be rich. I wrote a pilot.
There's a whole folder on my desktop that at some point I labeled do not delete. So probably some gold in there. Probably just needs a little extra push.
But I don't, I mean, I'm freeing this question on you, but I don't, do you have something like that where like you just won't revisit it because you can just, there's something so incongruous in the photos that it's not fun to even look at them?
Not photos, because I don't take a lot of pictures as an adult, really. Or I mean, in the last 15 years, I feel like I don't take a lot of pictures of things. It's really just like at weddings, and there haven't been that many of them lately. Sometimes because the YouTube algorithm is cruel, I will see an old crack video surface and I won't like either my weight or very often some hair and facial hair combination decision that I've made that I look at it and I'm just like, you knew you were going to be on camera. I'm sure you're very comfortable having no product in your hair and wearing a fucking t-shirt that it looks like you slept in. You must have been very cozy on set that day, but you're on camera. People can see you, and now they can see it forever. And that's not a bad memory of like someone at my wedding who was annoying. That's just like,
yeah,
it's me. I'm the annoying one.
There's a cracked video that I won't ever watch again where, Cody's in it and Rachel Bloom from Craziest Girlfriend is in it and I play the Flash and mm-hmm. Cody is the Flash's brother at a therapist's office and I'm just fucking with him the whole time. And the Flash costume that I'm wearing at the time, I didn't know, but then saw in the comments where someone had pointed out the time codes of when you could see the outline of my penis.
Yeah.
And I really hate that.
Of course.
I hate that on such a fundamental level. Where if I even am reminded of that sketch in the middle, like I'm like trying to fall asleep, I'll make like an audible noise where I'm like, oh, because there's just so much humiliation.
Yeah.
And that's mine. That's my special thing.
And like someone on set should have said something.
Yeah.
We should have a person who's on top of that kind of thing.
Somebody, I was like,
yeah, don't record. Because that's forever. And let's ask this gentleman if he's okay with that. I bet he's going to say no.
It was to the point that then when I later did a sketch that involved me being just in my underwear as a stripper, the director who was a Gord, was Will Gord.
I'm glad you kept clarified quickly. Gord is the last name of a person.
Well, Daniel Vincent Gord is like famously on Cracked and a wonderful guy, and I think he probably has foray in directing. And so his brother Will is a director exclusively, and he said, "Do you want to like? What do you think about?" He was like very professional. Like, you're gonna be in small tight underwear. Is there anything you want to do? And I was like, yes, I would like to look like a Ken doll as much as possible. I want no definition whatsoever. He's like, okay, do you want us to like increase the bulge? I was like, no, just a Ken doll. I want people to not think I have anything at all down there. Just smooth if possible.
More questions than answers, please. I had not as the Flash, but just in a not that if you're wearing a Flash costume, you're inviting these kind of looks or anything, but a similar thing happened to me, and I was just wearing like khaki pants. It was just like clothes that I would wear in my life in an Agents of Cracked video, and I was looking at the comments. This is a time in my life when I would do that kind of thing. People were like, hey, at this time code, can you see his dick when he's walking? And people were replying, yeah, you can. Yeah, I see it. And it was like, oh, okay, I guess this is... I suppose I signed up for this kind of thing to be in my life? I don't know. It's one of those things that at the time, I was like, yeah, this is one of the trappings of making sketch videos with my friends. This is the trade-off.
Yeah, you're never really accounting for how much of you is saved in posterity.
Yeah.
You think like, okay, well, yeah, it'll be fun. My jokes will be in there. Maybe my face. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I'm fine with my face. Oh, I didn't account for my testicles.
No, and certainly no one is going to be in there. The conversation is not going to go, hey, at this time code, can you see his dick? And then someone jumps in, excuse me, focus on his jokes. Of course we could see it, but we're not going to look there and no one's going to discuss it because he doesn't want us to, obviously.
That's me in my ghost account. I'm wearing a mustache as I'm typing now, just to disguise myself. Let's just focus on his jokes here, folks. They're good.
Right, let's focus on his jokes, unless you think they're bad, in which case, get out of here.
Well, the haircuts and stuff weren't always your choice, though. You had to shave your head for a while.
Yes.
Because you had just shot a Harry Potter in the future sketch where you had a mohawk. And you can't
keep
a mohawk.
Yeah, that's what we called it, Harry Potter in the future sketch. That's right.
Harry Potter in the future. You can't walk around with a mohawk. You know what it's just occurring to me is that you did a whole Harry Potter series and you'd never seen Harry Potter.
No, not at all. Absolutely not.
Where you play Ron Weasley.
Yeah.
And you're just like... Well, he's going to be this from now on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch it.
Especially because like it's like a famously a red-haired character. And I got ahead of it as quickly as I could because I don't like wearing wigs because they're very... Yeah. They're really painful and distracting if you're trying to Soren, you're an actor. As an actor, you understand. I was
meaner's bad, though, Dan.
Yes. They're really annoying and painful and difficult to work with. And I wanted to get ahead of it. So I went to the Abe who was directing that and Michael who created the show and like compromised. I'm not going to wear a wig because I don't want to, but I'm willing to get a real life Mr. T haircut. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if that's right for the character because I don't know who Ron Weasley is, but I know that like, you guys will be happy knowing that I found a different way to be unhappy. It's not wig unhappy. It's like real life unhappy. So
right.
It's net neutral. I'm still the same level of unhappy no matter what, as far as you know.
It's some shame I will carry with me to the grocery store after we shoot.
And it, yes.
And the rest of my life because it will just follow me around.
Because that's the thing about it is like I liked having a mohawk and Mr. T look for the character. It really helps like step out of the normal characters that I played for Cracked, which was some version of a guy named Daniel who was nervous. This was like, okay, I'm going to do a different voice now and I'm going to walk differently and carry myself differently. And the hair really helps that. But then I'm just like in my normal life, walking my dog and going to the store. And if you have like a very well lined up mohawk and goatee situation, there's no way you can communicate to a stranger that it was an accident or that you're not really like that. Like I'd be walking Jackson with a mohawk and smile at someone and as quickly as I could with my eyes, try to be like, oh, don't believe this. It's not true. It's not me. It's not really me.
It's not true. I know, don't believe this mohawk. It's not true.
I know it looks like I have a mohawk, but it's fake. I don't.
This is not representative of who I am. God damn. I fucking am almost mad that you didn't watch any Harry Potter or like prepare at all. We did a Star Wars series where I was an alien and like really prepared.
Yeah.
That's had cool, to speak man. As another language and like tried to find something that would be fun from the Star Wars universe and like get the sounds kind of right and stuff. You just got to be a cool guy with a mohawk,
yeah,
in a leather jacket, sunglasses,
tight jeans. It ruled. It was awesome.
I think it's a wash overall.
One of my costumes was pajamas. Yeah, it was. I never watched the Harry Potters, and our good friend Star, shout out to Star. She's a fantastic comics artist who worked on After Hours. She loves Harry Potter and got me the books to force me to read them. And I just didn't. I re-gifted them to Rosie, my worst friend, because I didn't want to read them. And now, lo and behold, J.K. Rowling's a double-downing transphobe. So, like, now who looks like a fucking genius? Guess what? It's me. I'm the genius. I knew it from the beginning. I was like, no, I can't support her.
I think from experience, the surefire way to get you not to read a book is to give it to you.
Yeah, that's.
I think it's you're in your right to have never read it, yep. And I didn't read it either until I had a son, and then we started reading it, and I was like, "This is perfect for him." And then we got to the third book, and he was like, "I can't do it. I'm scared." And I was like, "Ah, okay.
Oh wow.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, there are these things called Dementors that are really terrifying, and yeah. Like the third book gets pretty dark, and so we had to stop.
Yeah,
we're reading Charlotte's Web now.
The
instead.
Dementors are like the Nazguls, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Still got it, Soren. Still faking pop culture knowledge.
I know. After all these years. Speaking of faking pop culture knowledge, Dan, we have some very exciting news for people who are not necessarily fans of this show, but fans of Dan and I when we used to do After Hours. I understand, and I want to apologize. I'm sorry for this one. But we have a very brand new episode of After Hours coming out on YouTube, TBD. Maybe next week. It's shot, it's edited, it's ready to go, and we're very excited about it. And I hope that you watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah, we did a live stream at the beginning of quarantine to raise money for COVID relief, and we did a live Q&A with the audience, and we also read a never-before-seen episode that was the essentially half-series finale of the show. And we got so excited with the outpouring of goodwill and donations that were coming in that I unilaterally said, if we raise more than $10,000, then we'll make a new After Hours episode. And if you go back and watch the stream, I think the other cast members get visibly upset about that. And then you guys raised $12,000 in change
for COVID relief.
And I then forced everyone to make good on that promise that I made that truly they're all really being good sports about it now. No one, I can tell that no one wanted to do this, including me.
Well, it's just we've moved on with our lives at this point. It's like when you have those dreams about having to go back and take a test in a class that you haven't taken for 20 years. You're like, going back and like looking at a script again and getting ready for an episode was like, oh my God. No, this is a different life. This part of me is dead.
Yes, certainly. You fall right back into the rhythms, and it's not the rhythms of like, the friendship rhythms and the fun that we had on set. For me, the rhythms that I fall into are screwing up a line and then like slapping myself in the head. He's like, you fucking idiot. Yeah.
That's what I think we used to get a lot when we'd be at Comic-Cons panels. People would say, why don't you guys ever do like a BTS, like a behind the scenes type of thing where we get to see all the bloopers where you guys mess up a lot. And it, to be true, that common saying, we did mess up an awful lot, but it's never fun. It's always very dark because it's 2 a.m. and we were like, fuck me.
Yeah.
Come on. Get this, you goddamn idiot. And like, everybody else is just being very patient and quiet. And like, they're also thinking to themselves, Yeah, fucking get it, dude.
Yeah, it's it's not like sometimes I'll watch a blooper reel and the actor will curse when they get something wrong, and it's very fun and enjoyable. That's not the case here. I think if we did a compilation of all the times that I've screwed up a line and like showed it to an audience, people would be like, I don't think he should act. I don't think it's good for him. I think he's poisoning himself with his acting. Like, look how much negativity he's inviting into his brain.
He's in a very dark place there.
Nobody asked him to do this.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there's a new episode coming out where we went to a dark place and did it again. So I hope that you enjoy it, everybody.
Yeah. It's going to be on the probably the Small Beans
YouTube and channel. I want to set your expectations now. We're not at the diner. We're all over Zoom. Zoom is a major component of it.
Yeah. Zoom has always sort of been the fifth after hour.
It's the main character, yeah. Honestly. That in Baltimore. Okay. Well, I think we can probably wrap up at this point. Let everybody know that they can follow Daniel and me on Twitter. Daniel's at @DOB_Inc. I'm Soren_LTD. You can follow Bacon, ask him about his legal matter that's pending at MakeMeBaconPlease, PLS. Or you can follow Quick Question at @QQ_SorenAndDan. We also have an email, which is QQ@SorenAndDaniel@gmail.com. And you can follow, find, and hire our producer, sound engineer, and editor, Gabe Harder at GabeHarder.com. And that's it. Goodbye. Bye. Daniel.